call the meeting to order. Start off with new business. Counselor Jones, any new business?
No new business.
Okay, Counselor Trejo?
No new business.
Counselor Zwart?
No new business.
Mayor Foster?
Do have some new business. So the 13.1 is already on the agenda. That's the Lake Shore East GO Train Extension Resolution. So I'm moving that. Counselor Anderson will be seconding it. As well, in front of you is a motion with regards to floods and flood resiliency. I'll move that. And Councillor Trail, you're good seconding that. And I've got to thank Amy in planning for putting that together. And Mr. Allison on the GO Train Extension, your staff and planning again there. And in front of you is a proposed motion for the delegations. That's with regards to the written submission that we did in February of this year and OPA 107.
Okay, Councillor Anderson?
No new business.
Councillor Hooper?
No, sir.
Okay, motion on adopting the agenda. Moved by Mayor Foster, seconded by Councillor Jones. All in favor? And it's carried. Any declarations of interest? Seeing none, Councillor Zwart, you're up on announcements.
This Wednesday, May 15, the Rebecca Lodge in Orno is having a salad supper, $20, 6 p.m. They'll be having monthly suppers from here till they raise enough money to put a new roof on that building.
Okay, thank you. Mayor Foster.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Two things. This weekend marks the beginning of summer. Okay, I'm hearing giggling. Yeah, that's what I was expecting. So wish everyone a safe, happy, warm and sunny. I'm not sure it's going to work out that way, warm and sunny long weekend. The other is that with the water levels rising down at the lake, volunteers to help sandbagging would be appreciated. So we'll probably be we being the municipality, get some information out, but amongst the councillors here, if there are folks that might be contacted, that would be appreciated. Thank you.
Councillor Anderson?
No new, nothing new.
Okay. Councillor Hooper?
I just have one announcement, and just so that everybody's prepared for it. Mike's on Fire, which is the hosted by the Firehouse Youth Committee. It's being again on Saturday, May 25th, 2019, from 1 to 5 p.m. And it's calling on all youth performers, solo artists, duos, and bands. Maybe there's a chance for Councillor Neal and Councillor Zwart to, no, I'm just kidding, at the Granite Ricker Complex. Contact for registration is 905-623-6814. And tickets are $10 in advance or $12 at the door. Prizes include studio time, cash, professional video, photo shoot, music, prize packs. And proceeds from Mike's on Fire support Clarington Youth Centers. And just this evening, had the opportunity to go and wish Chris Newman. They had a little bit of a wrap-up for him and wished him the best of luck on his new venture in the warm climates of Yukon. And wished him all the best of luck and thanked him for all that he's done for the municipality of Clarington. And I think that's it. Thank you.
Councillor Jones?
No announcements.
Okay. Councillor Trail?
No announcements. Thank you.
All right. And so motion?
Mr. Chair, just, you know, Councillor Hooper was making fun of warm Yukon. You know, it was 30 degrees Celsius there the other day.
And no black flies. Okay. Motion on the minutes of the last meeting. Councillor Hooper, seconded by Councillor Trail. Comments or questions to the minutes? Seeing none, call a question. All in favor? That's carried. Okay, public meetings. We have a public meeting tonight on the application for a proposed zoning bylaw amendment for Linvest Properties Clarington Limited for Aldridge Lane in Newcastle. Are there any members of the public present on that matter tonight? Any members of the public? Okay, all right, so we'll hear from staff, please. So before I do that, I guess I better go through the notes. This is a public meeting regarding an application to create a common elements plan of condominium at Aldridge Lane, Newcastle, file number CC-2018-0001. 0009. The physical design of the 37 townhouse units and the common elements of the development was approved through site plan application in May 2018. The purpose of the meeting is to hear and receive public comments concerning the proposal. General information on public meetings is outlined on the sheets provided at each of your chairs. If a person or public body does not make oral submission at this public meeting or make written submission to the municipality of Clarington before council makes a decision with respect to the proposed application for the plan of condominium, the person may not be entitled to appeal the decision to the local planning appeal tribunal, and the person or public body may not be added as a party to the hearing of an appeal before the local planning appeal tribunal unless, in the opinion of the tribunal, there are reasonable grounds to add the person or public body as a party. So this meeting will proceed with staff giving a short presentation explaining the proposal. Then residents and other members of the public will be invited to offer any comments. Before doing so, please state your name. And following your presentation, please enter your name and mailing address, including postal code, on the interested parties list located on the podium. Please be advised that your personal information is collected under the authority of the Planning Act and will be used during the review process. Questions about this collection of personal information can be directed to the municipal clerk. The order in which you'll be asked to address committee will be all opposed or concerned about the proposal first, followed by anyone wishing to provide comment or support for the application, and the applicant or agent will be last. So the staff presentation will be made by Nicole Zambri, and other members of the public will be invited to speak subsequently. Welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. Good evening, Mr. Chair, Mayor, and members of Council, fellow staff, and members of the public. Linvest Properties Limited has submitted an application to create a common elements plan of condominium at Aldridge Lane in Newcastle. Since the condominium tenure was not considered in the original subdivision application, a public meeting is required under the Planning Act in order to obtain comments from the public. The purpose of the meeting is to consider the tenure for the shared elements of the site. The lot is identified as Block 147 within a plan of subdivision that was registered on April 29, 2015, in what is known as the Foster neighborhood in Newcastle. The physical design of the 37 townhouse units and the space around them was approved last year through a site plan application. The subject property is currently under construction. The application for the condominium deals with the tenure for the shared components of the site. These components include the private laneway, Aldridge Lane, which would provide vehicle access to each unit, 10 visitor parking spaces, a walkway which connects pedestrians from Donald Powell Crescent to King Avenue, and other common elements such as landscaping, a community mailbox, and a meter room. A separate application for removal of part lot control has been submitted to create parcels of tied land, also known as poddles, for each of the 37 townhouse lots, which are not part of the condominium application. As a condition of approval of the condominium, an easement will be required in favor of the municipality over the pedestrian connection from Donald Powell Crescent to King Avenue. This will allow the public to use the pedestrian walkway, which links the broader subdivision to King Avenue, including the public transit stop. Public notice was mailed to each landowner within 120 meters of the subject lands on April 18th this year. Public meeting signs were also installed on the property fronting onto Donald Powell Crescent and King Avenue. No concerns or comments have been received from the Planning Services Department, only general questions about the application. There was also no objections or concerns raised from the internal departments or external agencies at the time of writing the report. Since then, the Simcoe County District School Board has requested that two conditions be added before issuing the decisions of approval. The conditions deal with a notice clause being added to the purchase and sale agreement regarding the determination of school bus pickup and school site locations. The applicant has been notified of these conditions. The application is consistent with and conforms to the Provincial Policy Statement, Growth Plan, Durham Region Official Plan, and the Clarington Official Plan and Zoning Bylaw. Provided there are no significant objections to the application during this public meeting, staff recommend that the draft plan of condominium application submitted by Linvest Properties Limited be supported. The Director of Planning Services will subsequently issue draft approvals subject to the conditions as contained in the attachment of the report. Thank you.
Okay, are there any members of the public who are opposed to the or have issues with the application? Please come forward. Okay, any members of the public wish to speak in support of the application? Okay, and does the applicant or agent wish to speak? Okay. I've got a couple, so. I've got a couple if you want to come forward. First of all, any members of council have any, please state your name, sir.
Frank Palombi with Linvest Properties.
Okay. Are there any members of committee that wish to ask any questions? Mayor Foster.
Thank you. Thank you, sir, for joining us. So as I'm reading this, you have approval for everything. This is housekeeping, simply dealing with the tenure, is it not?
That is correct, Mayor.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, I've got a couple questions. Were the roads made smaller from the first application? Like, did the size of the roads change at all?
To my recollection, sir, the size of the roads were in fact enlarged in okay. In the corners in order to facilitate the town's garbage vehicles.
Oh, okay. So that was my next question. So yes. It should
and fire vehicles as well.
Okay.
So we went through the process with staff. We acknowledged that there were some tight corners. We improved that to facilitate the town's vehicles.
Okay. And then I got to ask you, sir, on the houses that are sort of facing Donald Powell Crescent, which will be the front of the house and which will be the back of the house? So the units on the northwest part of this plan.
Those units within that block of towns are oriented such that the front doors are facing Donald Powell Crescent.
Okay, so what side will the air conditioning units be on,
The lane side.
The lane side?
I believe so.
Okay, thank you. Please sign the sheet, sir, on the should be a sheet there somewhere. Okay, so that concludes the public meeting portion. Next, we have some delegates. So first of all, is Jennifer Savini. Please come forward.
Good evening, Your Worship, councillors and staff. My name is Jennifer Savini. I'm here as counsel for 14 Estates, and our client owns property. Specifically, what we're dealing with is in the Hampton Hamlet, or close to it anyway. I came before you in February this year to request that Clarington make submissions to the province on changes that were proposed at that time to the growth plan and to the transition regulations. We requested that Clarington add to their submission to the province with respect to the growth plan, and Clarington did respond and make that submission. We really appreciate that. The growth plan 2019 has been put out. Transition regulations were proposed. However, the province has given a further opportunity to make submissions, and they've given until June 1st, 2019 to do so. The transition regulations that they put out did not address the items that we had hoped that they would, and as such, as outlined in our prior delegation, and I'm happy to go into details of that if you wish, the intent of the OPA 107 with respect to our client's property in Hampton and some other of the hamlets was to allow for the minor rounding out of hamlet boundaries based on the provincial plans that were in effect at the date of adoption by Clarington, which was November of 2016, and the date of approval by Durham in June of 2017. The growth plan came into effect in July 2017. That has the effect of impacting our clients' ability to develop on these lands. We are requesting tonight that Clarington make a further submission to the province requesting that these boundary expansions be grandfathered into the 2006 growth plan, which was the plan in effect at the time that OPA 107 was adopted and approved, but didn't come into effect yet. The province has given the opportunity, it's put out a draft transition regulation. It deals with a number of other official plan amendments, for example, City of Brampton, City of Toronto, Town of Wichers-Stouffville, doesn't include Clarington. The province has requested comments on the transitioning of specific planning matters currently in process. Our client's interest is specific to the Hampton boundary expansion issue. And with the cooperation of Clarington, we hope that Durham will also be supportive of this position. We are also making inquiries of Durham to also make a submission to the province on this issue. So I understand that there is a draft resolution, and I've had an opportunity to review that. I think it's very helpful and meets what we're looking for. We would ask for a specific reference to OPA 107 to reflect the other transition matters in the regulation, and we do request that Clarington do this on its own behalf and on behalf of our client. Thank you. Subject to any questions, those are my submissions.
Okay. Questions from members of the committee? Seeing none. Sorry, so if I can clarify, you're saying you think the wording is satisfactory, or are we looking to add something to that?
We had prepared a draft resolution. I believe Mayor Foster has a copy. It was essentially the same. Ours specifically referred to OPO 107. I understand the draft that I've seen that was prepared doesn't specifically refer to that, but it can certainly be dealt with through the staff's submission as well. So. Generally, we are happy with what is being proposed.
Okay, thank you. So, Carolyn Molinari, are
you coming forward, please? Good evening. I do have a couple of graphics, if I could add them here. Put them up. Is this on? So this is just a copy of the map A from the adopted official plan. The red circles are three of the hamlets that have been adopted and in Clarington, this being the other part of the schedule showing the other two hamlets. So Council adopted OPA 107 in November of 2016, which provided for hamlet expansions to the hamlets of Hampton and Salina, as well as Lescart, Kendall, Newtonville, and Maple Grove, which is not circled on there only because it is not within the Greenbelt. So other than Maple Grove, all of the hamlets are in the Greenbelt. The region approved OPA 107 in June 2017, but deferred the hamlet boundaries until certain required studies are undertaken. And since then, the growth plan came into effect in July, right after the approval of OPA 107, but it did not allow for hamlet expansions in the Greenbelt area, unlike the 2006 growth plan, which did allow it. In January of this year, the province came out with the issued a draft 2009 growth plan and draft transition regulations, which also did not permit hamlet expansions in the Greenbelt area, even though the province was aiming to make growth planning easier for rural settlements. Clarington made a submission to the province in February requesting the hamlet expansions be permitted in the 2019 growth plan, which was much appreciated. Several other parties also made submissions to the province, also requesting hamlet expansions be permitted in the Greenbelt, including 14 estates with respect to the Hampton expansion, the Veltri Group in respect to the Newtonville expansion, and David Watton made a submission with respect to the Salina expansion. So just very recently, on May 2nd, the province issued their final 2019 growth plan, which, despite the submissions, does not provide for hamlet expansions, as well it does not provide for the exemptions to the growth plan in the transition regulations. But on the same day, they also issued a notice. Regarding further proposed modifications to the transition regulations to exempt certain official plan amendments, including, and it's highlighted on the screen there, the City of Brampton, their OPAs 126, 130, and 133, City of Toronto, OPA 231, Town of Wichert-Stouffville, OPA 137, Region of Waterloo, OPA 2, the Region of Halton, OPA 47, and the County of Simcoe, OPA 2. Clarington OPA 107 was not included in the proposed regulation despite the submissions made. The public comment period for the proposed modifications to the regulations is open only until June 1st, so we therefore request Clarington to make a second submission to the province, specifically requesting OPA 107 be added to the list of exemptions in the transition regulation, and that OPA 107 be subject to the 2006 growth plan in terms of hamlet expansions. And without this, the hamlet expansions in Hampton, Salina, Leskart, Kendall, and Newtonville will not be allowed. Thank you.
Questions from the committee? So I've got a question. Like, my recollection is it talked about rounding out of hamlets. Is that not what we're dealing with here? No, we're not talking about straight expansion, are we?
Rounding out, yes.
Okay, so should the resolution not actually mention rounding out? Because when I read this, it suggests that we're going to support just straightforward boundary expansions. So,
Jennifer, could I defer to our solicitor on that question in terms of the wording versus expansions versus minor rounding out?
Yeah, I think the more appropriate reference would be a minor rounding out of the hamlet boundaries, because that's what we're dealing with in
right.
the case of each of the properties that we're dealing with.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
And 10.1, yep, all right. So does anybody want to put a motion forth, Mayor Foster?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I'm going to make a small change to this, and we may want to change depending on the answer I get from Mr. Seaman. So I'd move that staff make written submission with respect to OPA 107 to the Ministry of Municipal Affairs and Housing to request that the transition regulation for the Growth Plan 2019 and the Greenbelt Plan be reviewed and amended to accommodate settlement boundary expansions in the hamlets in appropriate circumstances. And I'll look for a seconder on that. Okay, Councillor Trail has that.
Councillor Trail, are you seconding that?
And Mr. Seaman, given the comments on the rounding out, is that verbiage more appropriate?
Through you, Mr. Chair, that would appear to be appropriate. So I've got, instead of settlement boundary expansions, minor rounding out. So cross out settlement boundary expansions.
So you would suggest, and I'm thinking Councillor Trail might move this as an amendment, to accommodate minor rounding out in the hamlets in appropriate circumstances?
Yes, I'll make that amendment.
Seconder? Mayor Foster.
Good with that.
Okay, discussion on the amendment. Okay, call the question on the amendment. All in favor? That's carried. I said yes too. And on the main motion? Further discussion? As amended. Okay, all in favor? That's carried. So item 9, no items for information. 10.1, motion for direction. Anybody wish to make a motion on 10.1? Looking to my near left, far left. Mayor Foster.
I'll give you a motion to approve the exemption.
Councillor Hooper seconding. Comments or questions? All in favor? That's carried. Presentations, we have Brennan Weiler and Paul Wirch regarding the Curtis Main Street. Welcome.
Good evening, members of council, fellow staff, and any members of public who are still here. At the request of council, we will be providing an overview this evening of the Curtis Main Street Secondary Plan, the future Curtis Urban Center, and the Curtis Community Improvement Plan. As with all of the communities in Clarington, the planning for Curtis is based on the policies contained in the official plan. The official plan guides and manages development to create complete communities that foster economic, environmental, cultural, physical, and social well-being for all residents and business owners. It reflects community priorities by providing direction on where and how to build. One of the areas identified for growth and redevelopment is the Curtis Main Street Secondary Plan. This planning area follows Durham Highway 2 through Curtis and includes particular emphasis on the future Curtis Urban Center located east of Charles Road. The Curtis Main Street Secondary Plan was the result of several years of planning and community engagement designed to create a focal point for community and economic development within the second largest community in Clarington. Planning for the secondary plan was included as part of the update to the Clarington official plan. The Curtis Main Street Secondary Plan includes a list, The guiding principles for the creation of the secondary plan were to reflect the regional corridor along Durham Highway 2, to recognize a regional center east of Charles Road, and in so doing, create a mixed-use corridor with higher density that is supported by enhanced transit service. The regional corridors are areas of transition that have a mix of residential and commercial uses. And the regional centers provide a focal point, as stated, for community and economic development, and may be complemented by public services and facilities. Both the regional corridor and the regional center are priority intensification areas as identified in the official plan. And these are areas identified as preferred for growth and redevelopment. The Curtis Main Street Secondary Plan contains a variety of complementary policies designed to shape the long-term vision for the Curtis Main Street. And these policies can be summed up in the following objectives. Intensification of people and building areas that are in keeping with the targets set out in the Durham Regional Official Plan and are supportive of a walkable environment and the development of a future rapid transit system. A mix of land uses together on the same property and even within the same building in order to minimize land consumption and efficiently address complementary needs. Attractive streetscapes, which include the thoughtful design of gateways, greenway features, pedestrian nodes, bike facilities, sidewalks, boulevards, street furniture, signage, and so forth. And high-quality urban design of buildings and sites, which contribute to a positive image of the Curtis Main Street. The Curtis Main Street Secondary Plan includes a list of tools that will support the implementation of the Secondary Plan's policies. And these include updating the zoning bylaw to give practical shape to the policies of the plan. And these regulations control the development of land and the construction of new buildings. Another tool is the Community Improvement Plan to provide financial incentives that will help to implement the vision for the area. And an urban design plan for the urban center itself, which demonstrates how all of the properties within the urban center will be developed over time. The master plan, which laid out the vision for Curtis Main Street, was approved in 2010. The secondary plan and corresponding urban design policies were given, which give form to the vision, were adopted by council in 2013 and approved by the board in 2014. The community improvement plan, which provides the financial incentives, was approved in late 2016, and the zoning regulations received council approval in June 2017. The new zoning regulations control the built form of new development. The built form includes what buildings look like, how tall they are, how much of the property the building occupies, how far buildings are set back from sidewalks and streets, and the placement of windows, doors along the street. Shifting the emphasis of the zoning regulations from land uses to built form provides greater flexibility in creating active spaces that can evolve over time. The new zoning regulations were applied only to the lands east on the east side of the Farewell Creek, which is the area where the majority of redevelopment activity is expected to occur. The balance of the lands on the west side of the Farewell Creek will be addressed in the broader review of the zoning bylaw, which is ongoing. The new zoning regulations received broad public support since the Curtis Main Street is viewed by the community as the appropriate location for higher density development.
So as Paul mentioned, one of the tools to implement the vision is the Community Improvement Plan. And one of the things that staff and council had heard through the planning process, which Paul just described, was there was a number of constraints and challenges to overcome in redeveloping this area. As it's not greenfield, it essentially is redevelopment and infill. There were some challenges to overcome, one being property consolidation. As you can see from the map there, there are a number of existing low-density houses along King Street right now. The cost of redevelopment versus standard greenfield development. And then another big one was servicing. So basically, the purpose of the CIP was to provide a tool that enables the municipality to respond to these constraints in this Curtis Main Street area. And the CIP allows the municipality to provide incentives to the development community that help in assisting to achieve a public benefit. So if I could give an example of that is right now, the Black Creek Trail and connecting into the Farewell Creek Trails are something that the community is focusing on. It's very hard to accomplish connecting a trail in through a number of individual properties. So by helping with the redevelopment and seeing consolidation of properties, you can help achieve that vision of creating that trail network at a quicker timeline versus if there's no incentives to do so in that area. As Paul kind of already mentioned, we did do some extensive community engagement. And so once the vision was in place for the secondary plan, we know this is where we had heard this is where we want the intensification. This is how we want this area to develop. We then asked, okay, if we are going to provide incentives, what does the community value as achieving as far as community goals? So what we heard generally were high quality architecture, pedestrian friendly and transit supportive developments, more choice of housing and affordability, and then sustainable development standards. So we took that information and we created a two-step approach to this CIP. So it's very different from the existing CIPs in Bowmanville, Newcastle, and Orno, and the fact that it looks at more redevelopment, whereas those other CIPs look more at addressing existing building stock. So within this CIP, there's a two-stage approach. So one is meeting minimum intensification targets. So within the secondary plan that Paul just described, there's a minimum height, density, floor space index, and those kind of things. we said, in order for you to be eligible for these grants, you need to exceed our minimums by 20%. So we're getting more intensification, we're getting more floor space, we're getting more housing choices. The next step, once you've met that threshold, is to then figure out how we can incorporate those things that the community wanted to see. And we put those into essentially what we called an evaluation framework. And so what we did, well, before I get to that, I'll just, again, this kind of visualizes that we wanted that minimum of 20% increase over what the minimum is. And then to get to the evaluation framework, we created 5 evaluation criteria, and they all contain different numbers of goals to reach. These criteria were developed using the Green Development Framework, which came out of the Priority Green Project in many cases. And so to give you an example of green and open space and access, one of the check items in that criteria is having direct access from the development to the Black Creek Trail system. So typically with a development, you don't have public access that goes through the development potentially. So in order to get a check mark under that, in this case, you'd have to provide public access to the Black Creek Trail system. So it's creating a community benefit by getting greater access to our trail systems and those kind of things. So you'd have to meet a minimum of 3 of these requirements, and then the grants would increase if you got to 4 and if you achieved all 5 of them. So this is essentially a breakdown of the 2 different grants that are offered within the community improvement area. The first one is a development charge grant, and the second one is what's called proper tax increment financing or tax increment grant. The development charge grant is broken down into 2 separate categories. As mentioned earlier, one of the constraints in this area is existing servicing. And in consultation with Durham Region, if you have to extend the pipe on Highway 2 there, it's considered a local service and not a regional DC item. So that cost is all borne by the development community in this case to extend those services. So we looked at that and looked at what that additional cost means over the development. And so the grants were based on if you have to extend the services, there's a higher grant base because there's a much greater impact on you developing that on your pro forma versus if you already have the services in front of your property and you don't need to extend them. So the grant is based off of whatever the DCs would be that project would generate. And then the tax increment financing or the tax increment grant is basically taking the increased value in the taxation of that property after it's reassessed after development. So let's say you have an existing property and you're collecting $1,000 in tax a year. If you redevelop that property, that increment, maybe it goes up to $2,000 in taxation a year. So the grant would give you anywhere from 50 to 75% of that increased value. So the increased value is $1,000 on the tax base. So if you got a 50% grant, you would essentially get $500 of that $1,000 increase back as a grant. So the municipality is still gaining in a tax base while providing some incentive to the developer to make it easier over the first 10 years of a project to make that project feasible for them. So that's essentially how the CIP works.
So just to reiterate, we have the 3 primary tools to implement the Curtis Main Street Secondary Plan. We mentioned the zoning bylaw. Brandon just shared with us about the community improvement plan. And the 3rd one is the urban design plan, uniquely for the urban center. So the urban center is intended to be the future heart of the Curtis Main Street area. It'd be a mixed-use community with public spaces and facilities, including it's expected to house the Curtis Library in the future, as well as a public square. So to guide the development for the Curtis Urban Center, this urban design plan was created to create a master plan for the area, containing a full range of uses designed to generate greater, greater connectivity and opportunities for places where people will live and work. So since the establishment of the Curtis Main Street Secondary Plan and the tools that we've highlighted, a number of development applications are being reviewed and are attempting to take advantage of these new opportunities. So one of the first ones is right within the Curtis Urban Center. This is the first site to be developed. It's located on the south side of Highway 2. And following preliminary site plan approval earlier this spring, you may have noticed clearing of this land. This site will be developed for 100,000 square feet of commercial floor area, including a new supermarket and a beer store. It also includes a six-story mixed-use building that will be fronting along Highway 2. The second site under review in the Curtis Urban Center is located on the north side of Highway 2. A number of development concepts are still being reviewed for this site, which is expected to include a multi-story mixed-use building. Three apartment buildings are proposed on Highway 2 just east of Darlington Boulevard, known as the Uplands. These buildings are between 9 to 10 stories in height and contain 378 apartment units, as well as a number of townhouse units. Now, in addition to the current applications we've just shared, municipal staff are also working with other property owners in the Curtis Main Street area to redevelop their sites. And one of the sites being considered is also in the urban center. Is a multi-story proposal on the lands owned by the Gay family. And municipal staff are working with the new owners of the Pine Ridge Motel on a development concept that would see a multi-story mixed-use building on Highway 2 with stacked townhouses at the rear of the property. So the Curtis Main Street Secondary Plan, the Community Improvement Plan, and the other regulating tools are designed to work together to create a strong identity for Curtis by promoting a dense, mixed-use, transit-oriented corridor with the urban center as the focus of the community. Redevelopment will not occur overnight, but we are confident that this planning framework that's been approved will transform the community over time from the inside out. Thank you.
Questions from members of the committee? Okay, I guess anyone wanna put forth a resolution, I guess, receive for information, or Mayor Foster?
So thank you, Mr. Chair. So I'll give you that motion to receive for information and thank staff for a great job, both on the visioning that's been done in the past and the visioning that they continue to do today.
You seconding that? Okay, seconded by Councillor Jones. Questions to the resolution or comments? I just got a couple. So it seems like when I recall seeing this some time ago, the central square was more at the corner as opposed to down the road. Is that, was that shifted consciously, or I thought it was more like us, like as it says, a central square.
Through you, Mr. Chair. The central square is adjacent to the proposed library. It would be east of the residential building. It would be almost in the middle of the urban center area, east of the Lawson Gay property. West of the Lawson Gay property.
Well, I see that's where it is now. I just, am I not remembering that correctly? From you know, a number of years ago when it was first proposed that this was going to be the urban center.
There is another mini square at the intersection of Trolls and Highway 2 at the entrance of the Golmanco site. So that's more like a landscape corner entrance feature.
Okay. And then it shows some fairly large buildings on Avondale Drive. I mean, is that, like, that's got to be, so that assumes that all those existing one-story houses will, or one or two-story houses will disappear on Avondale Drive? Like,
through you, Mr. Chair, the concept for the urban center is to actually consolidate properties that redevelop at higher densities, all along Highway 2 as well, and along the Curtis Main Street.
Okay. So the area that's in that corner seems to be a lot of parking lot in that. Am I seeing that correctly, right on the corner of Highway 2 and Charles?
No, there is no parking area on that corner.
So what's that?
It's a main, it's entrance feature. It's like a parquet. When you enter there, you're going to have landscape, benches, a pergola, a nice urban design feature as an entrance to the whole site.
So on the inside of that, though, like on the inside of the, it says six-story multi-residential and then six-story. There seems to be three buildings. In the middle of that, is that a big parking area?
Sorry, can you indicate the area you're talking about in the map, please?
Yeah, right there.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, to Mrs. Salazar. If you take the area at the corner of Highway 2 and Trolls, if you go on that corner, can you put it on the, who's got the mouse?
You pointed it on there.
Right there. Samantha, right there. In the
middle there, you're going around.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, right. That's center in the middle. Like.
That area is the park. There is a building along Highway 2, and the parking area is surrounded by the buildings, by the commercial, two-story commercial building along Highway 2, by the residential building to the west, and the commercial buildings along Trolls Road. And there is that parking component in the middle. The site plan for Goldmanco, they have signed back on the conditions of site plan approval. We are finalizing some minor changes to elevations and landscaping, and practically, they're going to start construction by June 1st.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, call the question. All in favor? That's carried. All right. So we got 12.1. Anybody have a motion on 12.1? You wish to move a motion on 12.1?
I would love to. Motion to approve.
As written, okay. Seconder, Councillor Hooper. Oh, Councillor Anderson, you're a close second to the second. So, okay, seconded by Councillor Anderson. Comments or questions to that motion? Seeing none, call the question. All in favor? That's carried. New business, 13.1, Lakeshore East GO Train Extension Resolution. Mayor Foster.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think everyone's got the motion in front of them, so I don't think you want me to want or need me to read that motion out, and that is seconded by Councillor Anderson. I just want to recognize the tremendous amount of work that staff are putting into this file. I'm gathering that this is non-controversial, and based on that, I would look for a recorded vote so we can express our concerns to the province and Metrolinx.
Okay, any other comments or questions to the motion? Councillor Hooper.
I just have a couple comments, maybe one comment, and that's just how most of Clarington Council and staff attended that information session that was basically, how do I say it? No, I'll keep my comments myself. But anyways, I'm still looking for the four resolutions. I marked down in my little notebook resolution one, and I still never did find out what resolution one was, nor four. And I had to find out the next day from a breakfast meeting that I went to in Newcastle, actually from the member there who hosted the breakfast, what the four resolutions were. So I think that was sort of window dressing, if I may say that, for Metrolinx, and I'll just leave it there because I have other thoughts in regard to it. So I look at what our staff and the amount of development and everything that's gone on to sort of support where it was supposed to go, which is on the north side of 401. And I was very disappointed, that's all. Thank you.
Okay. Any other comments or questions?
Mr. Allison is...
Through the chair, if I could just let council know, we still haven't seen the four options. We still haven't, as we sit here tonight, I don't know what the four options are. There is another town hall that Metrolinx has announced that they're hosting in Bowmanville at the Garnaby Rickard Complex next Tuesday. It overlaps with our council meeting. Just for the benefit of everybody, we were not consulted prior to that meeting being scheduled. I hope by the end of this week to have information that would tell us what those four options are, but that's part of the resolution here is to try and get some of that information. And just for the benefit of council, I believe the mayor circulated a letter from Chair Henry that went out to, I believe, the Minister of Transportation and to the Chair of Metrolinx that provided an excellent summary of the history here in terms of what's happened, all the extent of the investment, both public and private, based on, I'll call it a working assumption, that the alignment was going to proceed as we had always thought. So that's why the resolution is in front of you here tonight, and just for everybody's information. The first draft of this resolution came from the City of Oshawa. It's something that they're looking at passing as well. It's obviously been tailored to suit our particular needs, but the thrust of this resolution is going to go before Oshawa Council at some point in the distant future as well.
Okay, I just had one small suggestion on the second last, whereas, to insert the word, whereas it is important that any option, is that, would you consider that appropriate, Mayor Foster, as the mover?
Sure.
Okay. All right, so recorded vote, Madam Chair, or Madam Clerk.
Through the chair on the resolution regarding the GO Train extension, moved by Mayor Foster, seconded by Councillor Trail. Mayor Foster?
I think that was Councillor Anderson seconded that. But my vote is categorically yes.
Okay. I thought maybe you were hesitating on your own. Councillor Anderson?
Yes.
Councillor Hooper?
Yes.
Councillor Jones?
Yes.
Councillor Trail?
Yes.
Councillor Ward?
Yes.
Councillor Neal?
Yes.
And that's carried unanimously.
Item new business, Mayor Foster.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So this is moved by myself and seconded by Councillor Trail. Again, the motion is in front of you, so I won't read that. And once again, Ms. Burke put a significant amount of time in this. I am pretty sure that this is, again, non-controversial. Based on that, and sending, again, a message to the province, I'll call for a recorded vote, please. Councillor Trail.
Okay, Madam Clerk, recorded vote was called for.
Item 13.2, moved by Mayor Foster, seconded by Councillor Trail. Mayor Foster.
Yes.
Councillor Anderson.
Yes.
Councillor Hooper.
Yes.
Councillor Jones.
Yes.
Councillor Trail.
Yes.
Councillor Ward.
Yes.
Councillor Neal.
Yes.
And that's unanimous.
So does the next item need to be lifted first as unfinished business? Okay. Okay. Anybody wish to make a motion on item 3 that was referred?
So the matter was referred, so we don't have a motion before us, so it could be...
That's what I'm saying. Anybody wish to make a motion? That was my question. Foster.
Mr. Chair, I'll make a motion just with a very slight amendment, and that would be that staff be directed to make it a condition of site plan approval where appropriate that air conditioning units and other condensing units not be placed in the street facing side of townhouses slash condominiums. So I'm simply adding, yeah, where appropriate. That, where appropriate, so after that.
Seconder? Councillor Anderson? I thought, any speakers to that? Right. I thought that there was a suggestion made by staff that I thought was more of a wording which I would have preferred. And I did meet with staff, Mr. Pellerin and Mr. Seaman, and went over that. And so just looking for that suggested wording from the staff. So I personally, I won't support where appropriate, but I thought where reasonably possible was something that would work based on my conversations. So I don't support the motion as put forth, but I would support what staff had recommended, which was say where they're possible. So I'll call the question on the.
Well, Mr. Chair, so my motion, and I'll okay. I didn't have a chance, so I'll speak to the simply the only reason for the where appropriate is by stating where possible, staff developers are forced. There is no option, and there may in fact be circumstances where it's not appropriate to do that. So the where appropriate is in those unforeseen circumstances, our rules might force us and force developers to do something that everyone agrees is the wrong thing to do. So it's simply in the possible odd case where it makes sense not to do that, we shouldn't find ourselves boxed in by our own rules.
Well, I guess, like I said, I'm going to, I don't support the, anyway, call a question. Councillor Jones.
Are we able to put the motion up exactly what we're voting on, please? Or have it reread to us?
Yeah, absolutely.
Through the chair, moved by Mayor Foster, seconded by Councillor Anderson, that staff be directed to make it a condition of site plan approval that where appropriate, air conditioning, we'll change that to air conditioning, units and other condensing units not be placed in the street-facing side of townhouses slash condominiums. So the change up there is after the word that, it'll be where appropriate.
Councillor Jones.
So staff did recommend the where possible in place of where.
Actually, I wonder if we could maybe have a 5-minute break and then we could distribute. Is that? Yeah. Moved by Mayor Councillor Hooper for a 5-minute break, seconded by Councillor Jones. All in favor of that? That's carried.
And a lot of people saw a lot of things that were not in order, let's put it that way. So I'd just like to say thank you for taking their time out of their busy days. Thank you.
Okay, any other questions to planning staff? One last motion at 8:05:47. Councillor Traill.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn, seconded by Councillor Jones. All in favor? That's carried. Thank you.